Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, he lay victorious, over sin,
over death, over wrong, over us. Here we go. This is my Bible, and this is God speaking to me. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what God's word says I have. And I can do what the scriptures say I can do. All right, turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew. Luke chapter, we will look at Matthew, but Luke chapter 18. The title of my message today is, Will He Find Faith? Will He Find Grace? And Jesus tells two awesome stories here in Luke's Gospel, encouraging us to be people of faith and consistent faith and constant faith and continuing faith, and then encourage us to be people of grace and not to depend on our own works. So I love, we shared last week how Jesus was a skilled storyteller and how he used stories to make a very powerful, profound point so that people could remember it. You know, there's just something about a story. I was privileged. Dan Clary invited me to go to a prayer breakfast in Yucca Valley this week. And they had two speakers. One was an African-American man who had been falsely convicted of a drug offense. And the other speaker was the white cop who had planted drugs on him in order to get that conviction. And after serving 4 years in prison, the African-American man, they found out that the case was not good against him, and he was released. And the police officer, the day that the convicted man went out of prison, the police officer went into prison and was had federal offenses. And when they got out, then later, when they were both out of prison, they were in a program, a kind of a halfway house, and re-engaging in as ex-convicts into community, and they ended up working in the same ministry. Wow. And so the African-American man asked the white cop, please explain to my four-year-old son why he missed the first 4 years of his first 4 years of his life was without me. And so a great story of forgiveness, amazing forgiveness. I don't know if I could be there, but I would hope that God's grace would help me. And now that they have a great relationship with one another, and so the convicted, falsely convicted man, his gift is to forgive this cop, and the cop is working on forgiving himself. But it was a great story. Some of you may, I think they've been on 700 Club and television, but they were there at that prayer breakfast along with many dignitaries and state people in the legislature, state senate and state assembly, and a lot of cops were there. I mean, I think that was good for them to hear that. And probably 50, there were probably 300 people there, and probably 50 law enforcement, but a great story of redemption. And so it's amazing to see God's power in real life at work, and for even those injustice like that, to for God to bring healing to that. And of course we are fight against those things and stand for justice as God's people. Well, amen on that. Thank you. It sure gets quiet, doesn't it? See, it gets quiet sometimes. I just stand up here and listen to you be quiet. Luke 18. I keep wanting to call this Matthew, but that's the other guy. Luke 18. Jesus spoke, verse 1. Jesus spoke a parable unto them to this end. Here, in other words, here's why Jesus was telling the parable, that man ought always to pray and not to faint. Let me just encourage you that there will be times when you just get a little weary. That's the scripture tells us over and over again, don't be weary in well-doing, and due season you will reap if you don't faint. Don't think it's strange considering the fiery trial. God will give us the victory, greater is he that is in you. And there are all kinds of encouragement all through scripture, and particularly all in the New Testament, that reminds us of who we are in Christ, our inheritance in Christ, who we are, what we have in him, needs to be very vivid in our thinking. And sometimes when circumstances encroach on our peace, we have to sort of shake ourselves and say, wait a minute, I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am more than a conqueror. I am victorious, not a victim. Are you with me? And so it is important for us to know that we should pray and not to faint. Jesus telling the story to that end. So just prepare yourself. Here's a story that is intended to help you and to help me hang in there and not get weary and keep believing and keep trusting and keep praying and keep pressing into God. And here's what Jesus said. There was in a city a judge, and this judge did not fear God and didn't regard people. So this is not a good choice for a judge. This is a bad choice. Someone's made a bad choice here. Doesn't fear God and doesn't care about people. Well, there was a widow in the city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And so, again, I just love how Jesus tells stories and tells about this. It's not just a normal woman or the average woman who's married or what. This is a widow. And she is a widow that is facing an adversary. And Jesus says, so she happened to come to this judge, this particular judge that didn't fear God and didn't care about people. And she said, which is his job to avenge her of her adversary, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I don't fear God and though I don't care about people, because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me or wear me out. So it's all about his convenience. It's not even he gets a moment of clarity and says, you know, bless her heart, she should be avenged. No, he said, she's going to inconvenience me. Wow, that's a great story, isn't it? I mean, it's a story that Jesus told, but it's pretty powerful. I'm ticked off already at the judge. That's the... And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Think about what the judge said. And then Jesus goes on, and won't God avenge his own elect, which cry to him day and night, though he bear long with them? So here's the conclusion Jesus tells the end of the story. I tell you that your heavenly Father will avenge speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So here's the question. Jesus said, even an evil judge that doesn't fear God and doesn't care about people, if you're consistent and persistent, because it will inconvenience him who doesn't care about you and doesn't fear God, it will be, if you're just relentless in your faith, will avenge you. And Jesus said, your heavenly Father will avenge you quickly. So our heavenly Father's not like a unjust, evil, doesn't care about people. He's in love with us. Are you with me? And so he promises to avenge us quickly. And so the whole message here from Jesus is don't give up. Don't give up. Keep asking, keep knocking, keep believing, and you will have, you'll get it. He will avenge you. I remember when we, years ago, we had an upright piano that someone had donated to the church. And it was old, and it was not really great. And so we used to stretch our hands out, just before we were in this building, we used to stretch our hands out toward the piano, and we would say, be grand, piano. And we do that every service, every week, every month, for a couple of years. And one day, the Lord provided a grand piano. And it's over there. We don't have it on the platform because there's no one to play the grand piano. We do the electronic instruments, but we were relentless about that. When we were in Cathedral City, we had rented buildings, and we were in a rented space rented from Southern California Gas Company, the last building we rented, and we would stretch our hands toward the east from Cathedral City, and we would say, "Thank you, Father, for our new building." We had looked at land out here, and then eventually we bought land out here, and we knew we had some land, and so we would just say, "Thank you, Father, for our new building," and we did that consistently, and it took several years, but we were consistent, and we were persistent, and we kept speaking, and we kept believing, and we kept praying, we kept declaring, and we kept making, that faith declaration. Jesus told us to talk to mountains, and don't give up on talking to your mountain, and if you don't doubt, but you believe, and you have whatever you say. And so we just kept saying and praying and declaring, "Thank you, Father, for our new building." Well, you're sitting in the fruit of that faithful declaration. Yes. And so Jesus poses this question, when I return, will I find faith? And so I want to encourage you to be a man or a woman of faith. And I love how Jesus makes these graphic dichotomies of how the world thinks and works and how kingdom thinks and works. And let me encourage you one more time. We talked about it in detail last week, but regardless of how you feel about the outcome of the election, that's inferior information to kingdom participation. So here's our plan. We talked about the plan last week. We do have a plan. And the plan is, it was the same plan we had when Reagan was president. It was the same plan we had when Bill Clinton was president, and George Bush won, and George Bush two, and when President Obama was elected. Here's our plan, and now that Donald Trump's been elected, our plan is we're going to pray for them. Yes. That's the plan. And we're going to vote, we're going to pray, but our plan is, regarding the outcome of the election, we're going to pray. Pray. Okay, and that's been the plan. February, by the way, will be 35 years. So I've functioned with that plan for 35 years. And so far, it's worked out. Okay. So I love, though, how Jesus gives these graphic differences, the graphic dichotomy for the world's way and the church way, his way, kingdom way. And he always makes it so clear. And so Jesus gives this very graphic story about an unjust judge. He doesn't fear God, doesn't care about people. And this poor widow who has an adversary who should be delivered from that and begs and pleads and knocks. And finally he gives in. But that's not how a kingdom works. That's just a natural illustration of even in natural ways that we relentlessness and diligence pays off. But Jesus said, your Father, your heavenly Father will avenge you quickly. Are you all with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So I love those clear Jesus. A lot of preachers want to make it kind of foggy. You just never know. You just never know what God might do. Well, he'll do good. That's what God will do. He's good all the time. Every good gift, James says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from him. John 10:10, Jesus said this, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that you might have abundant life. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, Jesus poses questions in the earlier verses, and he says, if you being natural parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? If your child asks for an egg, would you give them a scorpion? Well, no. If your child asks for bread, would you give them a stone? Well, certainly not. How much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask? So we can approach our Heavenly Father in faith with expectancy and not fear him like an unjust judge who doesn't care about you. That's not what the Lord wants us to take away from that story, that we have to approach God like he's an unjust God and we just keep begging and pleading long enough and finally he'll break through. No, that was the story of not the kingdom. Are you with me? And Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things we're hoping for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things. How many of you have ever seen heaven? Now, I know there are people who have seen heaven, but I don't know if there's anyone in here who's seen heaven. There may be. I've never seen heaven, but I believe in heaven. Why? Because faith is the substance of things we're hoping for and the evidence of things not seen. How many of you believe you have a brain? But have you ever seen it? No, it's the faith is the substance of things. Anyway, Luke chapter 18, let's continue on. And then Jesus spoke this parable to certain people which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. How many of you have met this person? And Jesus has words for people like that. People who trust in themselves, who think they're righteous and despise others. Now, I grew up around some pretty hardcore people, Christians. And for a portion of my childhood, I grew up around people where if you went to church, they would almost assuredly make several references to clothes and lipstick and jewelry and cutting your hair or not, women. Most of it was saddled on women. And like that's the issue. Right. Is this on or not?
Yeah.
And they were so committed to that kind of thinking and that kind of preaching. You want to get this group that I was for a little while. You want to get them whipped up. You just give them an angry lipstick reference. Women wearing lipstick. Now, it's hard for some of you to even fathom this, but just trust me, there are religious people that are nuts.
Yes.
Just nutty. And they don't let the main thing be the main thing. And so, do you ever see a picture of a vicious Doberman pincher with their teeth? That's a picture of my pastor. And they were so sure that I reluctantly mentioned my name, that we were the only ones going to heaven. And that everyone else, the Catholic Church, they referred to the Catholic Church as the whore of Babylon. I mean, they could just make anything sound disgusting. And we've had two Catholic priests preach in this church, both of them two times. Wonderful Father Pat Crowley from Berkeley, who had a healing ministry, and it was wonderful to have him here. And the first thing he said when he stood in the pulpit, he said, "If any of you used to be Catholics and you were hurt by the church, I stand before you to ask your forgiveness." It was amazing.
Yeah.
Father Joe Sherbo, who had a prophetic ministry, would come, prophesied over our church, and ministered to people. It was wonderful. And so, gosh, I found out that Catholics who love Jesus were just sweet believers are going to heaven with us, not the whore of Babylon. And so I'm not interested in any of that anymore. I'm not into that and not going there, not interested. And then when God called me to preach, you can understand why I was reluctant, because that's kind of some of the stuff I grew up around. But anyway, these people who are so dependent on their own righteousness, their own efforts, their own work, they can be very mean. You have to be careful. And that's why the word says, if you bite and devour one another, church, spirit-filled believer, be careful that you don't consume one another. So verse 9, Jesus spoke this parable to certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And here's the story. Jesus starts the story here. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed this way with himself. He's praying with himself. He's kind of just focused on him. And he's praying not even really truly to God, but he's just praying with himself. And he prayed this way: "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, extortioners and unjust and adulterers, even like this guy over here." And see, the word gives us so much instruction and direction. about comparing ourselves among ourselves. The Apostle Paul said, hey, if you compare yourselves among yourselves, that's not wise. So let's just be who God created us to be and be the best us that we can be. There's no need for you to try and be like anyone else because their spot is already taken. And so it's important for you and for me, for me to be the best me I can be, for you to be the best you can be, and that we don't have to make those comparisons. But Jesus is telling this parable or telling this story for a reason. So this religious person, this self-righteous person, this person who's praying not really to God but with himself, is praying, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like these other people. And so there's this an arrogance and a pompousness to his whole approach to prayer. And he said, I'm glad I'm not. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And he gives this litany of things, his performance. A lot like, we talked about the parables of the prodigal son, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And the older brother's attitude was, I've always been good, and I never ran off and wasted, Father, I never wasted your money on wine, women, and song like your son over here. And so he that self-righteousness, and he starts, I've always been here, I've always been faithful. And it's good to be faithful, and it's good to have a sense that you're committed, that we're walking in our righteousness, but we can never allow ourselves to have an air of superiority over anyone. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor John. If you could move over here, because I need your help really bad today. It's very quiet in this Presbyterian church. The publican, though, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven. But he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself will be abased, and he that humbles himself will be exalted. You know, there are kingdom principles that run opposite of the world's ways. Paradoxes. We rise by lowering. We get by giving. They're just kingdom paradoxes that we have to grasp and accept. And the greatest, Jesus said, in the kingdom is the servant of all. So that we humble ourselves so that God can exalt us in his way, in his time. And so Jesus said, the one who beat on his breast and said, be merciful to me, a sinner, he went home justified, and the other did not, because he was dependent upon himself. And everyone that is exalted will be abased, and he that humbles himself will be exalted. Turn with me to the book of James, and we'll conclude here with this passage. James chapter 1. So Jesus really asked these two questions in Luke 18. When he returns, will he find faith? And will he find people operating in grace? Because it is possible for us to begin to think that we are okay because we have our little list of things that we do. And we do need to walk in the righteousness that God has given us. But we don't establish righteousness by our deeds. Are you with me? For by grace are we saved through faith, Ephesians 2. For by grace are we saved through faith, not of works, lest we be able to boast. But it is faith that works by love, and grace through faith is how we walk in our righteousness. James chapter 1. So we can walk in faith, and we can walk in grace. Will I find faith when I return, Jesus said. Will you be operating in grace? Jesus asked. James chapter 1, and I want us to read two verses, verses 16 and 17. And I quote this very often, but it's good for us to look at it in the Word. James writes, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So we can walk out our walk. Let me encourage you today, because it's early. You're going to I mean, you're going to beat everybody to Coco's. That we don't allow our walk with God to just be going to church. That we really allow Him to permeate and saturate our journey. Each and every day we can commit to Him and walk with Him and walk in an awareness that He dwells in us. He promised to walk in us and talk in us. He promised to help through us and heal through us. He told us to go out and do the works that He did and to love people like He did and to heal people like He did and to make disciples like it says on the front of the bulletin today and to see lives transformed by our influence. And so it's so important that we, because this is such a living, vibrant faith that we have in God, and it affects us in the everyday of our existence, that we really know that God is good and that He's got us covered and that every good gift comes from Him and every perfect gift comes from Him. There's never even a shadow of turning with Him. There's no variableness with God. He is good always, all the time, and every time. And that we walk in that awareness, that we can truly engage Him with faith, and that when He comes, He'll find faith. He'll find us being diligent, consistent, constant, asking, believing, be grand, thank you, Lord, for building, or whatever that declaration is, where we're believing and trusting God, and that we're consistent in that, and we don't get weary in well-doing, and we don't give up, and we don't cast away our confidence, we don't throw in the towel, but there is a faith, an abiding faith, because of our relationship with Him that enables us to keep being people of faith, and that we walk with Him by grace, and that we don't get puffed up, and that we don't get arrogant, and that we don't get spiritually haughty, but that we have that humility before Him. Lord, be merciful to me. I know that You've made me the righteousness of God. I know I'm a son of God and a child of the Most High. I know I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus, but I still humble myself before You. I thank You for my inheritance in Christ, but I humble myself before You. And that we walk in humility before Him, and that enables us to walk in humility before one another. And that's just good stuff right there. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank you for these beautiful stories.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org and for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.